It is so good to see everyone tonight. I've been really excited about getting back. I missed being here Sunday. We all did. And just so thankful to be back, thankful to be feeling better, feeling good. And Josh's, we took him to the doctor and what have you, but all of his reports came back good. So I just wanted to give the church an update there, and thankful for your prayers. And also wanted to thank Preacher Bill. I really appreciated that message Sunday. We listened to that together, and that's a blessing. I tell you, if there's always been an importance to contend, but I think in these last days it gets a little tougher and a little tougher, and to dig in a little deeper and a little deeper. And what he's talking about with influencers, I'm telling you, that's a lot of what our kids are taking in on a daily basis. That's the best word to call them, because that's what they do. They just influence people to do this or do that, whatever they're trying to get people to see or do. So that's a very timely message on many different levels, and I appreciate that. And there wasn't a whole lot of notice there either. So I guess the being instant in season and out is a very important thing. I think Brother Tim and I have even talked about that before too, but that's important. We do have a short business meeting tonight, just a little business to take care of after the service for Brother Dewey Whitfield. He's had some car troubles, and I'll explain that a little bit more toward the end of the service or before we go into conference and what have you there. And also wanted to let you know that Brother Howard Miller will be coming Sunday. I don't know if I guess maybe it's a time that different missionaries are coming off the field to come back and present, because I had several calls. I guess it started around the beginning of May. And so Brother Howard Miller is to be with us on Sunday. And he said that he would like to take both the services, the Sunday school and the preaching time, have time to present and then also to preach. So I just wanted to make that announcement. And then also missionary Elsef Dulay, Brother Dulay, he is a missionary in the Philippines also. He's going to be with us on Wednesday night, the 5th. So that'll be next Wednesday, Lord willing, if nothing happens. So I had several calls and was just trying to place it in there the best I could based off of their schedule and what have you. So it kind of lumped together there, but I just wanted to let you know about that. But if you will, let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll look at verses 1 through 18 tonight. It's several verses, but I'm going to try to place them together so it's maybe a little less lengthy than what it would sound like when you think about 18 verses. Hebrews does go very deep. Some of the verses kind of go together, and you can place them together as far as the context of it. And I've received just an absolute wonderful blessing out of this study. It seems like it gets sweeter each time, and it goes a little deeper each time, thinking about what Jesus really did for us. And tonight, I want you to look at it this way and think about this. You know, you and I, we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything that the Lord gives to us. We're not worthy of it. We're not deserving of it. If we're not careful, the spirit of entitlement will fall upon us, and we'll think, well, you know, I try to do good and live good, and I deserve this. It'd be easy to try to think that way. But honestly, church, if you really, in your heart of hearts, want to really think about it, we don't deserve anything. If we have a good day, any day, if we have a good day, that's a blessing. That's something to be thankful for. And the only way that we can have anything good is through Jesus Christ. Now you can say, well, that's, you know, kind of a generic kind of statement, but you think about it tonight. If you're here and you're saved, I really don't believe we fully understand how saved we are and what we're saved from. But you imagine, you look at it on the flip side, you think about it tonight, if after being saved you remember and recall back to when you were lost, what would you have to look forward to? What would your hope be? If you knew that after everything was done, after this life, there was only hell to gain after this life, what, there's nothing to look forward to. I would have nothing. Tomorrow would not be exciting. The next day would not be exciting, because all I could see is the end result, and it's just doom. But thank God, Jesus changed everything for every single one of us. And I like how this starts out here. We'll start out in verse number 1 here, Hebrews 10:1. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, A shadow, that's an imperfect or a faint representation. You think about a shadow is cast off of something. If you have light, and light falls upon an object, what you have on the backside of that is the shadow. And the shadow is an imperfect image or an imperfect being or what have you of the actual being. And so when you see the law here, it's just the shadow of good things to come. The law is temporal. It was never meant to be a permanent fixture. I want us to remember that tonight too. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You think about how they would do that every year. We've talked a lot about sacrifices in the priests. That's what they did every year. And what is so sad about that is every year those animals would have to die. And the Bible's telling us here it could never take away sin. It could never take it away. You think about all those animals that were innocent, had absolutely nothing to do with it, who were chosen only because they were without spot and blemish, only because they were perfect. That's why they were chosen to be sacrificed. That's not very fair to the animal, is it? But and then you add on top of that, and it was never meant that they were going to actually be able to make a person perfect. It was just a temporal thing. It was just a temporal covering. Every year that covering had to take place. And you think about this too. I heard some commentary and thought about it like this. What happens if year by year, if that sacrifice wasn't made? What if I didn't make my sacrifice that next year? Brother Archie, I didn't have a covering. What if I died in that next year without a covering? Where would I be? See, that's a different way of life. We can't comprehend what that would be like. It's not like we have Jesus, but you imagine that every year that sacrifice had to be made to cover you and your family. If you missed a year, you didn't have covering. You were lost. The covering wasn't there. There was nothing to cover you. There was not a once and for all covering under the law. It had to be done continually. The priest always had to make that sacrifice. But a shadow of good things to come. I want to preach on that for a few minutes tonight. Just good things to come. The only good things that we have to come truly is from the Lord. And what He has given to us and what He's made for us. You look at verses 2 and 3. It says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins." You see what it was taking place here when you look at the Old Testament. It was just a covering for conscience sake. A person could take that sacrifice and take it to the priest. It would be sacrificed, and then what they would have is a clear conscience. I have a clear conscience before God, but not a clear heart. Not a covering, a true covering for sin. Having a clean conscience is a wonderful thing, but that's a far cry different than being redeemed. It's just a temporal covering. And you see here in verse number 3, it says, "But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." They knew at the end of the year, they would have to do it again. And they'd have to do it again. They'd have to do it again. You think about the law. The law had a beginning. The law had a beginning, and that was when Jesus, or God, let's say God, gave it to Moses. That was the beginning of the law. He gave it out. And then you think about the ending, it was a fulfilling. But when Jesus came to begin the New Testament, that is when the end of the law came to be. Jesus fulfilled it. So there's a beginning and there's an end. That means it's temporary. It was not a full time. It was not an eternal solution. It was temporary. You know, I know some people today, they want to say or try to act like you still have to be under the law. It's impossible. It's impossible to do that. You look at how the law is set up, the sacrificing of animals and the circumcision, everything that has to take place. People are not following those laws. They're not following that. A person is deceiving himself if he thinks he's actually following the law. There's so much to it. Some people really want to bring in works. I think it makes the flesh feel like it's doing something. They want to change things. But you see, under the law, it was just a remembrance of sins every year. It was remembrance. We've got to do this. We have to do this. We have to do this. You look at the law, it was temporary. We've talked before about the Levitical priest. That was temporary. Jesus Christ is eternal. That's the difference. He's an eternal sacrifice. It's completely different. You look at verses 4 and 6 here. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's impossible. So to try to think that salvation is in the law, it's impossible. The blood of goats does not take away sins. That's what you and I need. Forgiveness, remissions of sins. And the blood of bulls and goats does not take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Verse number 6. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Again, in burnt offerings and with sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. God had no pleasure in those sacrifices. Again, you think about what that meant. You had perfect animals that were innocent. I know they don't carry a soul. I understand that, but you had perfect animals that carried no fault of their own that were being killed and slaughtered to cover sins. You think that pleased God? That was the covering that it had to take to appease him, but do you think that pleased him? Do you think he likes our sacrifice? What I mean by that, the Bible teaches us that obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants us to obey him and to follow him. It's not that he takes pleasure in us, I'm going to mess up and then I'm going to offer a sacrifice. He takes pleasure in us being obedient. That's what he was after, our obedience, us to follow him. You see, there was no pleasure in that. And you see how this is written here, but a body hast thou prepared me. For there to be a permanent sacrifice, there had to be a permanent fix. It had to be something different than what they had in bulls and in goats. If you will, let's turn to Isaiah chapter number 53. I want us to see something here. It did not please God to have to make or to take these sacrifices. It didn't please him. But I'll show you something that pleased him here in this chapter. Many of you probably know who Isaiah is talking about here, who is being referenced. It's no other than Jesus Christ that's being referenced here. You think about the perfect sacrifice to be made. I want to say this. Our flesh is what holds us back today. That's what holds us back. You think about sinful thoughts, sinful acts, aches, pains, thoughts, desires, things like that that come to be, that's in the flesh. That's not in the sealed spirit. That's in the flesh. That is what holds us back today. There'll be a day that we won't have that. That'll be removed. This flesh will be gone. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. That's what this is about. So this flesh, it has to be contended with. See here in verse number 1, chapter 53 of Isaiah, it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You see his meek and lowly spirit. Not haughty, not showy, nothing like that. A very humble person, a very humble spirit. You remember how he came into Jerusalem when he came in on the colt, the foal of an ass, how he came into Jerusalem. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The life that he had, what he tried, what he wanted for mankind versus what a lot of times mankind gave in return. He's very acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You think about how the cross was, those that were mocking him, those that stood by and saw, those that stood by in disbelief. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now that's a very common verse, very common scripture there, but I want us just to slow down and think about again how unworthy that we really are. Who Jesus is, how much he loves us, and what he was willing to do to redeem us. You think about how we maybe from day to day mess up or sin and maybe not take it as serious as we should. Jesus takes it very serious. He took it very serious. Everything. He took it so serious that he's willing to put it in his own body. He said, I love this people so much. I love you so much. I'm willing to take this upon me so you don't have to. See, I'm deserving of every bad thing I get. I'm deserving of that. You say, I don't know. I don't want bad things to happen. But what makes you worthy? What makes me worthy? Nothing in of me, nothing in of this flesh. If we could really get back down to what we're singing about tonight, about being lifted up out of the miry clay to see where we're at when we're lost, then that will change your life. That's what makes the cross so important. When you have somebody that is willing to look down and says, I can change the life of every one of these people. I myself can do that, and I'm willing to do that. That's what Jesus did. A lot of times you'll see a contingency. A lot of times in Scripture you'll see that they might be saved. Why didn't it say they will be saved? Because everybody won't be. The might is the contingency of your choice. Do you choose them or not? You see the importance of this here. Again, it's saying that he was wounded for our transgressions. Nothing that he did. I'm telling you, in this day and time, very rarely do you find anybody that's willing to take up for the guilty if they themselves are innocent. A lot of times what you'll see is people making excuses. People putting back, the reason I did this was because of this. They go into save yourself mode. Jesus looked down on a group of people that could not save themselves and he said, I will do that for them. I will do that, but there had to be a body. It's like it said in Hebrews, there had to be a body that could be formed to do this. And God gave him a body. God gave Jesus a body just for this purpose, just to be a perfect sacrifice. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's how you and I have a hope of eternal salvation, his stripes. You think about every time, you know, if I get hurt, I don't want that to happen again. I don't know that any of us have really thought what it would be like to be beaten to death. That's a slow, painful death. That's not something that happens maybe like an instant car wreck or an instant gunshot. That is a slow, painful death. You think about that, that's what Jesus did for you and I. We don't think about it from day to day, probably. We get our minds on things, but that is exactly what he did for us. We should be mindful of that. We should be mindful of that every day. Verse number six here. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see how people are doing that today? They turn into their own way, their own thoughts, trying to make their own what feels good religion. I tell you, that ain't worth nothing. It's not worth a hill of beans. That's what people do. I've heard people joke about that. You know, they'll say, well, I started out in this denomination and I went to this denomination and then I like to do this kind of thing and that denomination approves of that, so that's why I landed in that denomination. Could you imagine that? That's not how God operates. You don't get to choose how you approach God. He chooses. He's the one that lays that out to us. He's the one that, this is what he went through so we could have salvation. We don't get to pick and choose. God has already laid that out for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way. Trying to find their own way, do their own thing. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, on him. It's all on Jesus. He was oppressed. And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You see, he knew. That lamb, that sheep didn't know, but Jesus Christ knew. He knew what he was doing. He knew in his mind what was going to take place. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now look what it says here in verse number 10. Now we saw what we read there in Hebrews, but what does it say here in verse number 10? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. See, it pleased God to bruise Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't make any sense, does it? You think about that. Yet it pleased him to bruise him. When you saw about the goats and the sheep, the bulls, the blood that could not save, and that didn't please God, that was not pleasing to him. That's what it says in Hebrews. But yet here, Brother Bill, it says it pleased him. See, God had his plan. God had his plan that he himself was going to show all of mankind. I've probably preached and said this many times, but if this is all that's preached from here on out, that's okay. God loved us so much that he was willing to come down and put this flesh on and die in our place, that we would not have to do that. Now, you really think about the aches and the pains and the things that we go through. This life is temporal. It's a vapor. I know we think, and it's hard to see past this. We can't see outside of this. This is what we know. But see, God sees the big picture. And I know he's sitting in heaven. He's saying, if they could just see what's on the other side of that veil, Brother Dale, if we could just see that, it's all worth it. We have things that we face, things that hurt us, things we can't control, aches, pains, diseases. We know as life goes on, it's appointed to man wants to die, and then the judgment. We know that that's coming, but Jesus made a way that that's not for us to fear. He made us a way past that. God himself said, I will put myself on the cross in the flesh so you don't have to die. That's how much he loved us. He didn't send something else. He didn't take something else. He didn't give something else. This looks good. He said, I will do it myself. That's why it pleased God to bruise him. You know why? Because that's a once and for all sacrifice that actually covers the sin, Brother Dale. It covers it. It's not just it does away with sin. It's not something that has to be done every year. It's something that's done one time because it's that good. It's that important. God had to make him a body. You know, the celestial being, God is the spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, there had to be a physical body. Had to be a physical body like unto ours to count, to make sense. It couldn't be a different kind of flesh. It had to be the flesh like we're in. This is what has to be sacrificed. This is the problem. If we get outside of this and you're saved, you're set free. You see, that's what Jesus wants us to be. That's how he wants us to live, even in the flesh. That's how he wants us to live. He wants us to live free, not unto sin anymore, God forbid, but free. He come to set us free. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You think about Jesus, there is only one. There's only one of him. There's only one being that was made that way. Think about this. Adam was created. Eve was created. Everybody else was born. If you really go back, now, I'm going to say this here. If you look at what's being attacked right now, it's those very things that you see at the very beginning of the Bible. How man and woman was created. How there's just two genders. Man and woman is created. What is Satan trying to confuse right there? That very thing. Did you know that you and I were made in his image? And what is Satan trying to attack? His image through us? He's trying to distort that, get people confused and all backed up and wrong. That is nothing more than Satan. I'm just telling you. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I'm telling you, you see what is being attacked. Yea, hath God said. He always puts that question mark out there. You see that at the very beginning. You see how all these things come to be. All these perversions and everything that was made naturally, Satan is trying to distort so God's children, mankind, has to contend with that. You see what's being attacked. But we were made in his image. There had to be a body that was made that could be on that cross because God is a spirit. God,
through Mary, Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit, and that is that body that was created for the sacrifice. You say, yeah, I know.
Well, we need to know that. There's many people that do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you have to believe that. You have to believe that he is. You believe in God, believe also in me. And his soul was made an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. For his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And you see there it says justify many, not everyone, many. Again, those who believe to choose him, to make the choice to accept Jesus. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide with the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's you and I tonight. That's the only way that we have anything good to come, because what Jesus did for us, nothing else in this life matters. You can have all the money you want, and you have all the things you want, but none of that matters. That will come to an end. What are you going to do at the end of this life? Are you ready to go? That's the main question. You don't know when that time is going to come. Are you ready to go tonight? We don't go down here to verse number 7, back in Hebrews 10. The Lord really touched my heart as I was studying and just thinking about these things, this knowledge that we have, the knowledge that's laid out before us. If you want to get closer to God, how do you do that? If you want to know more about him, how do you do that? And it's very simple. It takes our time, it takes our want to, it takes our dedication. How much do you want to know about the Lord? How close do you want to be to him tonight? Verse number 7, it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. That is where Jesus comes from. If you want to get close to Jesus and really learn him, again, remember who this is talking to, this book here in particular. It talks to all of us, but who it's talking here tonight, it's talking to his own people. His own people should know him. You and I should know him. We should know him better than anybody else. Would you agree? Who should know the Lord better than a born-again Christian? A witness. Who should know him better? But yet, this is who this chapter is talking to, this book is talking to. His own people. The Hebrews. It's a gospel tract to his own people. That's just something to take in. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. I looked up that word volume. That means a book or a collection of sheets of paper. Very simple. Very simple definition of what it is. I come through the pages of the Bible. I come through the pages of this book. You want to know more about God? You want to know more about Jesus? It's through this book. Now, I want to say this here because the Lord really laid this on my heart, is the importance of having the right book. I want you to know, and I know you've heard it, but I'm going to say it again. I believe in the King James Bible. There's a problem if you start going through the volume of the wrong book. It's those influencers, Brother Bill. They got a different book than what you and I have. They've got a different agenda than what God has. And see, that's the problem. And you start looking through the volumes of the wrong books and the wrong books or what have you, and you don't have the Bible in front of you, you're not going to find the Jesus that we're talking about right here. There's things that Satan attacked, yea, hath God said, and that's when you see the deception. In the wrong translations, if you want to call it that, they truly are perversions. Only Satan himself would want to change the Word of God. Amen? Who else would want to change the Word of God? What purpose would you want to have to change the Word of God? If you want to know the truth, if you want to find him, he's in the volumes of the book, but you better have the right book. The context of it. Staying in the right context, the importance of the right book, the information that we have, and the Bible in total. That's one thing that has blessed my heart about this study in particular, is I feel like it has drawn me closer to Jesus every single time.
I didn't say God. I said Jesus. If you want to get closer to God, you have to get closer to Jesus. That's the only way we can get to God. And I want to be as close to Jesus as I can. He's the one who died for me. He's the only reason why I'm here tonight. I have no other reason to be here except for Jesus Christ. What he's done for us.
I have something to look forward to past all this. All the headache, all the smog warning system, and all the things that you see tonight. I got something to look forward to past all this. But it's only because of Jesus Christ himself. He looked down and he said, I love you enough, I want you to be with me forever. And if this is what it takes, I'll do that for you. I'll be that perfect sacrifice. Boy, I tell you, it does something for my heart. That blesses my heart tonight, and it's once and for all. It's a once and for all deal. Let's look at this here. I'll be closing here. Verses number 8 and 9, it says, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for the sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. That is where the law is temporary. He taketh away the first to establish the second. And I love these last verses here, these 8 verses. I'll put these together once and for all. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That is permanent. I want us to understand that and see that tonight. When God gives you something, when Jesus gives you something, it's permanent. You don't lose it. It stays with you forever. There's too many ways, too many locations in the Bible that talks about eternal salvation that a person could miss it. There's just too many explanations here for that. Once and for all, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins over and over and over. You imagine how hard that would be if they saw it that way and understood that. This is not even taking away sins, but yet I have to do this. Is there not a better way? Could you not think about it like that? Is there not a better way? As we read this, could there not be a better way? Verse number 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. One sacrifice for sins forever. That is permanent. That's a permanent sacrifice. And that's why I believe in a permanent salvation. It's enough. I don't have to go back every year and get baptized. I don't have to go back every year and do some kind of ritual or sacrifice. Jesus did it once and for all. Plainly as he says here. And that's an offering of an eternal salvation. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Did you hear what that said? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected forever. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before. Now you know when... I just want you to know, when you know you have the right thing, if you're studying and you want to know if you're on the right track, the Holy Spirit will come alongside you and say, this is how it is. This is what you need to know. I tell you, Brother Tim, that's what happened this morning during study. He made it so real and just so plain. I'm telling you, he knows how to do that. He knows how to drive that home. It's something when you get alone with God and you study it out for yourself and he shows it to you, That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with you saying, this is the real deal. This is the real thing. You need to see this and you need to know this. Verse number 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. This, if you go back in Jeremiah, this is what it's talking about here. Making reference to the law. They were under the law then, but what it would look like under the New Testament. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. He's not talking about stone tablets. He's talking about our hearts. Instead of having the law, the cold stone tablets, I'll place it in each one of their hearts. and I'll write them. Verse number 17, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission, pay attention to this verse here, and I'll close with this tonight. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin.
You see, remember, and you go back to where we were talking about at the beginning, that was an annual sacrifice. It was an annual covering. But what he's talking about here, there is no more.
Again, now where remission of these is, talking about this eternal salvation, remission, forgiveness through Jesus Christ, there's no more offering for sin because you don't need any more offering. It's done.
You and I just have to accept it. You and I just have to take him at his word. Just trust him that he's enough.
I'll tell you tonight, Jesus is enough. You ever get close to him? He ever makes himself real to you? You'll find out he's enough. There's a lot of people I see, and I'll close with this, but I see a lot of folks come in contact with a lot of young people. I have a burden for our young people, but you see a lot of emptiness, a lot of worry, a lot of concern. When you look around this world and you see the way things are, there's really not a whole lot to get excited about. Everything seems like it's kind of coming unhinged, like it's tearing up. And again, talking about those, I think it's 2 Peter, talks about how the elements, the atmosphere will burn. The elements will burn with fervent heat. Now you look up, we're getting all these warnings about not smog or particles in the air. I tell you, the creation is pointing to Jesus' return. It's groaning in earnest expectation for his return, if we see it or not. Now there's people maybe who haven't been exposed to the gospel or understand what's going on. They need that. And I see that emptiness in them. They need that. If you've got that empty spot tonight, you need it. You need the Lord. You need what he has for you. The Bible teaches us here, if you want to get closer to him, you can. It's getting in his word and studying. But I will stop with that tonight. And again, I thank God for his word and just how he makes it real to me. But we will stop there and we will have just a brief business meeting. And just to take care of this business here.